Are we done? Okay, we're done. Should we get started?
Okay.
So, I'm Shweta. I'm a senior program manager with Microsoft. Been here for a couple of years. And that's Nasser. Nasser is also a senior program manager. We are from the same team. And we're here to talk to you about deploying or automating IaaS or infrastructure as a service options on Azure. Okay, so the idea is to, just to set a background, I was a very hardcore Microsoft technology developer until I joined Microsoft. So for the past 2 years, I've been working on a lot of open source technologies, and we thought that it'd be a good overview to provide and all the options that you have. So when you are working on Azure, so Azure doesn't mean it's just Windows. Of course, it's Windows, but you also have Linux, and we have a lot of open source technologies that support. So just a small point, we would be going through a simple background on what we try to achieve. What are the various automation options you have to automate? It's more a DevOps thing to automate resources, resource deployment, resource management on Azure. And then we'll show you a couple of demos, one using PowerShell scripting and one using Python, that how you set up and automate resources. And we hope that we use the entire 55 minutes for session, then we can probably do Q&A or coffee. But if you have any questions, please feel free to just raise your hands, and we'll be happy to answer them. So to get started, if you look at the plethora of services, and trust me, I keep updating this slide every time, and it's never updated, because the amount of services that we are launching is just amazing. But what we're going to focus on today for the demo is the infrastructure services. That's the VMs, VPNs, virtual networks, and stuff. But nothing stops you from automating any of the other services. So if you want to set up a stream analytics job, you can automate that. You want to set up an SD Insight cluster, you can automate that. You can automate all the services that are available. But let's focus on the infrastructure part of it. So let's look at what are the automation options we have. So there are four. One is PowerShell in Azure, CLI scripting, and I'd request Nasser to take us through that. Then the REST APIs, which is the base or the core of the entire Azure cloud platform. Everything works around REST APIs. And then this interesting part of extensions, how you can not only deploy but also upgrade, maintenance stuff, upgrade apps, everything on automated way, and Azure automation, what it is. So perhaps, Nasser, you could help us with the interactive share. Yeah.
Yep. Good afternoon, guys. So the room is too big, so not able to basically see everyone at the same time. All right, so I thought we'll just introduce, even though Shweta is going to basically talk more about open source and the other non-Microsoft languages and other things, I thought we should also have a little bit of Microsoft when we're doing the Azure conference by Microsoft. So I thought, let me introduce you to the two things that we have it as interactive shell. So how many of you are hardcore developers? And how many of you are IT administrators? Okay. And how many of you are getting into this new stream called DevOps? Most of the developers and IT administrators. Right, so if you are IT administrator, you should definitely use something like PowerShell. Right? If you are from Windows, yeah. If you are from Linux, you may basically be using some other shells, right? Maybe not PowerShell, maybe some other kind of shells. But what I wanted to just show you here is a small demo saying that PowerShell is just not a Windows tool. It could also basically help someone coming in from the Linux or the Unix world to Windows and want to manage Azure using PowerShell. So we can also basically do that, because if you look at PowerShell, right, we have basically been trying to adapt the concept that PowerShell should not only be for IT pro administrators or DevOps guys who are coming in from Windows, but also from Linux environment. So I thought I could basically just switch over and show you some demo there.
Probably have to zoom in.
So let's... Right, so this is basically my PowerShell ICE window that I'm showing you here, right? So anyone from Linux? Some of you, right? So I just wanted to have a look at what is there in the this particular folder. How do I look into the contents of the folder? So if you're coming in from maybe DOS, you'd say something like DIR, right? Too many files. So if you're coming in from Linux, you'd say something like ls, right? So the ls is also working within my PowerShell window. So you normally use something like mkdir, right, for making directory in a Linux environment. So basically say here, so that also works within my PowerShell window. So I'm saying that Microsoft is not only looking at Windows environment, but it's also basically making sure that even people coming in from the non-Microsoft world are also comfortable with the Microsoft tools, right? So that's basically the PowerShell that I wanted to show you about. When I come to CLI, I don't have multiple devices. I didn't basically carry any kind of a Linux or a Mac device. But then whatever I did right now with PowerShell, trying to basically do different types of commands as well as manage Azure, I can also do that from Linux machine or basically from a Mac. So we do have tools which are basically available for all environments or all platforms.
So coming back to REST APIs, so whatever PowerShell, Azure CLI, or anything that you use, underlying architecture is REST APIs. So we have service management REST APIs through which you can automate your VMs, set up your virtual networks and do stuff, and that's exactly what I want to demo, and that how we are able to create a VM, create a virtual network, deploy a MySQL persona cluster on the VM. But to ease your pain, so you know, instead of writing native code to call the REST APIs, there are also SDKs available where you can just simply, I'll just show you an example. So I'm just saying, OK, I'm creating a new, I want to create a Python file. And I've installed Azure. So I'll say from Azure import star from Azure service management. I will just zoom it in a bit just in case you're wondering what I'm showing. So if you look at this, it's actually giving me, okay, what do you want to do? You want to add disk? What do you want to, okay, wait a second, I selected the wrong, I can add data disk, you want to add an image, you want to add a role, you want to capture a VM, you want to get a deployment, you want to create a deployment. So what it is doing is it's underlying the SDKs now have a layer over the REST API. So if I want to create a VM, I just do svc.createVM, and I pass the parameters, and it will submit a REST API, and it will create a VM for me. So it's made development very easy. So if you're looking at DevOps where you're actually going to code and write scripts that set up multi VM clusters. You know, suddenly you want to spin up 50 VMs. You'll come across scenarios where you have workloads. You have peak workloads. You have like a finance application, a market application that works from 9 to 5, and you want to spin up 50 VMs during that period, and you want to just turn them down after 6 o'clock. You'll have these kind of automation scenarios. And by using these SDKs that are available, you can easily code And you don't really need to get into the base level REST APIs to do that. Then I'll also briefly run through the extensions. See, have you heard of extensions on VMs? Okay, there are a few of you. So the way extensions work is that once you've created your VM, and let's say you've created 50 VMs, now you want to do an upgrade. Okay, so what would you do? You would use something like Chef, Docker, and Puppet, or DSC, that's the PowerShell DSC, to run upgrades, right? But let's say your VMs are turned down and turned up. Each time you set up a VM, there are a lot of customization that you do, right? That could include running some scripts, installing some libraries. So today, for example, if you go to VM and you say, I want to create a Cloudera cluster, what it is doing is it's creating a VM and then it is installing Cloudera on it. So tomorrow when you say, I want to create your app, so you're going to publish your application as a service on Azure, you want some scripts to run. So these can be done through extensions. These can be managed through extensions. And if you look at the workflow, that's typically how the workflow works. So a create VM command is given. The REST API is called. It creates a VM. It provisions the VM. It installs the Azure agent. And then it runs the custom scripts. So that's how a custom script. If the provisioning is successful, it returns success. If it is not successful, it returns error. Now, this is a very important part of when you are in your DevOps, right? If you're spinning up 50 VMs, you're spinning up 100 VMs, you need to know how many of them did not provision properly, how many of them did not have the extensions installed, how many of them did not have your app installed. So these VM extensions help you in identifying what the issues is, running upgrades. So like example, I'm going to show you a script where we are installing a Chef extension. And I'm installing a Persona cluster. But when I upgrade my cookbook, all my VMs will be upgraded automatically. So I'm bringing in Chef on Azure. I'm bringing in DSC on Azure. And I'm doing it without actually coding too much. I'm just using the APIs to do that. You want to take over Azure Automation?
Yep. Before we move on to Azure Automation, any questions till now?
No?
No?
I've successfully managed to put them to sleep.
Okay, so just want to talk about Azure Automation. I mean, we just quickly looked at PowerShell. So PowerShell is an interactive shell where you can put in a command, see the results, find out what to do with it, and then basically go back and put in another command. So it's a kind of an interactive shell that you can use it. But another advantage of PowerShell is that it also extends into a scripting language for Windows. So most of the automation that you want to do it, you'll be doing it through PowerShell scriptings, right? Now, in PowerShell, we also have an option called workflows, PowerShell workflows. In case you want to use PowerShell workflows, what it can do for you is you can basically do orchestrations. Right? Normally, an IT pro administrator or basically a DevOps guy would be wanting to do that orchestration, like set up the VMs, do some installations, do XYZ stuff, right? Basically put this files into the machines, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So you do n number of activities, one after the other, right? And ensure that the whole workflow brings you or makes available the machines that the developers want to have, or basically maybe you want to deploy your application into production. So you want to have a kind of a workflow. So this workflow is possible by using Azure Automation. Now, Azure Automation is something as a service that we have built on top of PowerShell workflows. Azure Automation is provided to you as a service. So what you would be doing it is write a simple PowerShell workflow, deploy that onto Azure, right, in the Azure Automation service account, and you will be able to run that once, or you will be able to schedule that to run it multiple times. So you may not want to basically do an activity once, like for example, taking backups, or removing some kind of old data, right? Purging data, or doing some other kind of administrative task, which is done something which is more repeatedly, right? So you don't want to keep going on to the GUI and doing that particular activity, or you don't want to write the scripts every time to do that. And that's basically where Azure Automation helps you, where you can write the script once, put it up in the form of a workflow, save that onto the Azure Automation Servers, and then either run that once or run that periodically using a scheduler, or run that whenever you want it by just basically clicking on a start button rather than rewriting all the commands on the shell. So that's basically what is the advantage of Azure Automation. Now, what you write in Azure Automation is basically called as runbooks. Just like you'd say if I'm basically writing a script file, right, in PowerShell PS1, you'll basically be calling it as a PowerShell script file. So here we've given them a term called runbook. So these runbooks have commands or workflows which will let you arrange or organize your environment in a particular way you want it, build something that you want it for deployments, for dev and test, or for any other kind of purposes there. So I thought we could just basically show a simple one to the same scenario what Shweta was talking about. We want to build three machines, three VMs. We want to have the MySQL installed on that, right, and basically create a cluster for that three machines. So I want to do the entire automation, and I don't want to basically sit back and do it in the GUI way or do it interactively. So I just want to write a script for doing that particular job. So I'll just show you a simple script. I don't want to run through the entire script, but just want to bring up some simple part of the script and show it to you how exactly it looks like and how I'll be able to put that into Azure Automation and run that once or schedule it multiple times. So let's just have a quick demo of that. We are basically having just around 20 minutes. So hopefully I should be able to do that. So this is basically the script that we have created, the simple script for creating the VMs. Because it is automation, I don't want to hard code the values, right? So I basically have parameterized it. I have also given some default values to it. In case you don't want to provide the values at the time of running, you can basically say that. Sorry. So you can basically put in default values to that. I want to just quickly run through this because I don't want to show that part of it where I'm giving my username and password. I can add Azure account. Now, Azure Automation is a separate service, right? And the place where you're going to deploy it, the IaaS service is going to be a separate thing. It's called an external environment for Azure Automation. So you cannot directly access it. So you have to first provide me the credentials to log into the Azure account for which you want to provision the VMs. That's the reason why I'm using the add Azure account scriptlet here or commandlet here that allows me to specify which account I want to work with. And then I have basically the options to select my subscription and the storage. I'm writing in a small for loop to say that, okay, I'll specify the number of nodes I want. You run a loop and create that many machines. The rest of it is basically allowing me to create a machine, open the ports, etc. kind of stuff. But what is more important for me to show you here is that we're basically using the custom script for Linux extension. Right, as Shweta was mentioning about extensions, so we have multiple extensions. CSC is one of them. So we're using this extension to run a bash script file that is able to install MySQL and basically put that cluster in place. Right? So I'm writing that particular script here. So once the script is done, what I can do is I can go into my Azure portal, which I've just done here, already logged in. I have an option called automation. By default, because I've already created it, definitely because I wanted to show you the demo, so I've just tried it out on my account, so you can see that I already have an automation account. But if not, I would start with creating an automation account. So I start with creating an automation account here, right? So when I want to create an automation account, I'll specify the name of the account and the region in which it is available. So for me, I've already done that. So this is my automation account. Does it need zooming in? Okay. So this is my automation account that I have. Now, once the automation account is created, I would get into that automation account. I have an option called runbook. So this is where all my runbooks will be available for me. At this point of time, Let's say I don't have the runbook, so I want to create a runbook. So I have an option here that says create a runbook. Another thing that we have done is that we can either say quickly create a runbook or use from gallery. Now the option from gallery is we've already written some basic runbooks for you. We don't want to start from scratch, right? So we've already created some basic runbooks, so you can go ahead, pick it up from the gallery, customize it as per your requirement, and then basically start using it in your environment there. So we already have it from gallery quite a few ones, even starting out from Hello World, because you want to know how exactly things work. So we have things right from Hello World to a lot of other options that we have given here. You can see here for disaster recovery, backup, patching, monitoring, et cetera, et cetera. So for all of these, we have some kind of sample runbooks for you. I don't want to do that, so I say I'll start it off from, instead of the new ones, I just say I want to have a runbook. So I say create cluster, that's the name of my runbook. So I see that I want to do it in a particular automation account, right? It's already created and it's in a specific subscription. I say run, it creates me the runbook. So it is basically trying to create the runbook for me. Now, once the runbook is created, it gives me an option saying edit runbook, right? So I can say edit runbook. It opens up the runbook for me, and I'm able to type out all my commands. You see, all of this, I'm doing it right on the portal without using any tools, additional tools to be installed on my machine or any other kind of environment there, right? It's all happening on portal. So if I'm very good in PowerShell workflows, I can directly start typing in the workflow and get the things out of that, right? But I'm not so good right now, so I'll basically say, show you existing runbook. So I was showing you this particular thing. So I'll copy paste this, right? And see that particular thing running. So let me go back. Right, so I have already created a runbook with the same script that I just showed you now to just ensure that that's the script that I have it. So it's the same script that I showed you just a few minutes back, which is creating multiple machines, et cetera, kind of things. I'm doing that. I have already created that. Normally, when we create it first time, it will be in the form of the draft, right? And because now I've tried and tested the script, I've published it so that it become a permanent part of my repository there. And if I want to run that once, I can just basically say run. And you can see that all the parameters that I have put in there, it asks me for the values of that. The number of nodes, the name of the service, the name of the image, VM names, and et cetera kind of stuff, right? So I can specify whatever I want it here just to ensure that I don't hit into the error of saying that the service already exists. I'll change the name, say run. So whatever code I have written there, all that code is now getting executed on my portal. So you can see that my runbook is getting submitted, and now it's basically started creating all the machines. It would basically take a few minutes for creating all that particular machines there. And this is the details of what's happening on my portal, right? So you can see that the number of machines getting created, et cetera, kind of things are happening. It will take a few minutes for everything to be ready, but we'll not wait for that. I'm sure you've got an idea of how you can do that with Azure Automation, so we'll move on to the next part of it.
So what I have written is a simple script in Python. What it does is it creates a single VM. It'll create a VM on a virtual network. Actually, I've removed the virtual network. It'll create a VM and install a Linux Chef client extension. There's a Windows Chef client and there's a Linux Chef client extension. So how many of you have worked on Chef or are familiar with Chef? Few. So I just take a minute to explain how Chef works. Now, Chef is one of the VM management maintenance application or thing. So you have a Chef server where you have multiple servers that have a Chef client. And what you actually have is a cookbook. Now, what a cookbook does is you can script what kind of installation you want. So there's a persona cluster cookbook that I'm using that's published on GitHub. I'm sorry, I have a bad throat. So the persona cluster cookbook, if you install that on the server, you provide a URL to all the Chef clients. They will download the cookbook and they will imitate, run the cookbook, and all the clients will have exactly the same configuration. So the persona cluster cookbook, so each client will install MySQL persona. It'll have everything up and running and they'll work as a MySQL persona cluster. So like we said, if you have 50 VMs and you add a 51st VM, it'll simply, and you give the same Chef cookbook, it'll be exactly same to the other ones. It'll really, really enhance the way you add VMs, remove VMs, and do a maintain. So the way we work, or the way Chef has been integrated in Azure, is that there we have a Chef extension. So when you're creating a VM, you can provide a cookbook. So I'll just show you that part. So I have this function. You don't need to. Where I'm simply saying I want to use. Are you able to see the code? Is it? Yeah. So if you look at the reference name, I'm just simply saying that it's a Linux Chef client. This is the extension I want to install. If you see Nasser, he had used custom script extension. We did the same thing. In the custom script extension, we were installing Chef through a shell script. Here, instead of installing Chef, which then installs the MySQL cluster, we're directly telling install Chef and install MySQL cluster. We're not really installing Chef in the script. Azure is going to install Chef. Okay, so the moment I say it's a Linux Chef client that I want to install, Azure will automatically call the Chef installation and it'll install Chef. And the next, all I need to do is provide what is it that I'm going to run. So I need a couple of things, like I need to provide the URL from where it needs to download the cookbook, and I need to provide the key, the validation key. So let me just show you where the URL is. It's on the top. So if you see, this is a Chef server URL. So this is one of, so I've taken a Chef cookbook from the from GitHub, and I've just published it, and I'm providing the URL. So this is going to install the persona cluster. Now if we look at this run list, I'm simply saying install this persona. So the moment the VM is created, it'll install Chef, it'll install persona, and it's up and running. And I'll quickly go to the create VM page. Now if you see this, I'm actually using SVC, the service management dot create virtual machine deployment. And I'm just passing parameters, like what is the size going to be, what's the role name going to be, what is the extension I'm going to install, what is the virtual network. If you go down, there's actually a network, what are the ports I want to open. So all of this is there. This configuration set input endpoint is a class, is a Python class. So it's making it very, it's almost like coding, where I'm coding and adding endpoints, I'm doing all of that, and then I'm just going to, I'm going to create where I'm using an Ubuntu image, where I want, you can, if you have a custom image, you can give a custom image name and stuff. So I'll quickly run this. I have a very bad habit of giving long names. So this script, it has three functions. It creates a VM or a storage account or a cloud service. So I'm just going to create a VM directly. So I'm saying I want to create a VM. And the cloud service I've already created for a quick thing. Just give me a minute. It's azure.conf.st. So the moment I do that, I get an error. Okay, I think I gave a wrong cloud service name. Just give me a minute. It's giving me a missing resource error. Sorry? Any suggestions? No, actually, after the message, I was supposed to add a space. I didn't do that. That's fine. I will just check the storage account. Okay, I have to give a... So the storage account is wrong. I'll just give another one. It's already there. Continuous. So here what I'm doing is during the script, I specify what is the VHD name or what's the disk name, OS disk name that I'm going to create. I'm hoping that should resolve the error. Yeah, I'll just show you the created VM. I'm sorry. So I'll show you VM that I'd created using the same script. I promise I created using the same script. And I'll just do a start. Now, if you're able to see, there it says no extensions are installed. But actually, the VM has the Linux installed. The moment I hit on start, it'll start reprovisioning. I've deallocated the VM, so it's uninstalled everything. The moment I do a provisioning, now these scripts run during provisioning of a VM. So it'll start, and it'll also start running the chef client. It'll reprovision. One of the reasons is, let's say you've got 50 VMs, and you had 100 VMs in all, and you've run an upgrade on 50 VMs when they were running. And when the 51st VM comes up in your auto scale, you would expect the 51st VM to be exactly the same as the first 50 VMs. That means it has to run an upgrade. So using a thing like Chef or DSC, when the 51st VM comes up, it is getting reprovisioned, and it'll make sure it is exactly the same as the first 50 ones. So while this is happening, the key point that we want to take through is that there is no limit, or there is a huge playground for you available and a lot of options available when you want to do an automation. I mean, trust me, it can take 3 days or 4 days to go through all options, and you will still have been left with options. Do you have a question?
Can't hear.
I think I saw two things. First was the PowerShell and then the Python. And I think these scripts can be very overwhelming if you are trying to, you know, scale your automation? So as you ran into troubles, is there a way to debug this or troubleshoot in case you ran into such issues? Because if you don't have such tools, probably you'll spend days and days, you know, trying to find what was the real issue actually.
Yep. So I agree. So there are logs. Okay, so there are logs at various levels. So when you're writing a script and you, like the error that I crossed through, so each time you submit a request, you get a unique request ID and you can use that to log and trace the entire creation. And at any point in time, you can find out what is the issue that has occurred. I have a bad exception handling. Otherwise, ideally, I could have shown you a really good error which says why. Then there are logs that are generated at the time of provisioning. Now, if you see, it's provisioning in progress. So the moment the script is provisioning, the Windows Azure agent, it starts creating logs on what did it do, exactly how did it provision, where did the issue occur. And you can also add another automation that it transfers those logs onto anything. So at any point in time, you can, their API is available, even check the health and monitor your VM. So if you have a 100 VM cluster, you can write a simple automation script actually that say every hour checks on the health of VMs, if it finds that the health is not good, transfers the logs, generates an alert, generates some kind of a thing. So there is a very extensive platform available, but yeah, it has to be on. So you have logs, you have monitoring capabilities, but you need to build out on that. Yeah. Sorry, there's a mic here. Let me know if you want to add.
No, we can.
I can't hear you. Yeah, now I think we can. Okay.
By a script?
No, there's no cap. It's how your instances are being created. So there are limits, Azure limits. So as long as you're adhering to Azure limits, you can, there's no cap.
Not in Azure Automation. Azure Automation service is only basically for PowerShell. Right, I cannot write Python scripts into that. I can only write PowerShell workflows into that. So maybe at some future point of time, we could basically extend it to the other scripting languages. But right now, it's only PowerShell script. Yes, we do have an option where I would not say the same thing, Azure Automation, but there is something called as Azure Scheduler. Right, wherein you write the script in Python and then basically take that script and schedule that, saying that I want to run that n number of times in this interval or whatever you wanted. Yeah. But we do have that option of Azure Scheduler there, and which I can schedule any kind of script if you want it.
And you can also, you can also say take a worker role, which is where you deploy your Python scripts at this point in time that are constantly running in. Automating stuff.
So there are ways you can do it. That's what we mean. Yeah.
Sorry, we finish with him and then, yeah.
The other question is, I forgot. I'll come back.
Sorry. Yeah, I think he has a question.
Okay, do we have REST APIs for Azure Automation as to create the runbooks or, you know, put your scripts into draft, then publish it. Do we have REST APIs for that?
We have them in...
Yes, we just released that a few days back. We have Azure Automation Commandlets, which again can basically be used to do the same thing. I mean, create the runbook through programmatically. That's what you want to do.
Yes, exactly.
We can do that particular thing.
Okay, thanks.
And just to
maybe
add...
there were some bags to be... Yeah. Passed on to the guys who are asking questions.
So if you need to understand the REST API signature and you know the PowerShell command, just do a hyphen debug and you'll get the entire REST API signature. So that's just a hack if you want to, you're not able to find a signature. Your question?
Are there any script repository where we can download these PowerShell scripts?
Yep.
Yes. We do have. We have something called as a script center. Right, where we are uploading scripts, automation scripts, and we are also basically asking the community to upload the scripts there. So you can find that we have something called as Azure Script Center.
If they are billing API to access usage data, so that like usage can be divided in cost center and those kind of things.
Yes, you have REST APIs, billing REST APIs, where you can get a lot of usage information and build reports on that. Yes, you do. So everything is, if you just go to Azure's REST API reference, which I can show you here, this is managing your services. So the service management REST API is managing your resources like VMs, VNets. Then there are manage your services, and one of them is billing your usages, and one of them, and there, then there is storage accounts, stream analytics, automation, and all of those services.
Yeah, hi.
I have a question, actually. You were talking about automating, creating VMs and installing the services. What we can do in, for taking images and disaster management in terms of automation?
It's the same. So, for example, you have a REST API for creating or capturing an image, downloading, accessing a blob storage, moving files. So you can write a script which
is both for the VMs as well as the VHDs?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Give it to me.
Yes.
Actually, I use PowerShell to capture one of my VMs, and there's an option Azure VM Capture, and when I capture the image, it deletes the image of the, it deletes my VM.
Yes.
As in, if I capture it from the portal, it doesn't happen. So.
No, I think basically whatever you can do with the portal, you can achieve that with the PowerShell as well, but just that you may not be basically using the right flags. Maybe we could connect to see what command you are using it to do.
It asks me that the minus D option for the command Azure VM Capture, it's mandatory. It doesn't work without a minus D option, whereas in the portal I can capture it. It doesn't get deleted.
Mine always got deleted.
Yeah.
I'd like to know actually what you did. Maybe we can connect online that it didn't get deleted.
We can basically check that offline, what exactly you're trying to do.
Yeah, sure. Makes
sure.
It didn't happen with PowerShell, that's why I had to do it through the portal.
Got it. Sure.
Hi.
Whereas, just to follow up with that question, the first in our priority list is that whatever new things we bring it up, that's going to first come into PowerShell, right? Then into REST APIs, then into the portal and rest of the languages. So whatever you try to do it, you'll always have it in the PowerShell first. So we'll see that particular thing.
Hi.
So
you ran as a Chef client, right?
Yes.
You installed it as a Chef client. Is there any other dashboard that where we can control these cookbooks and recipes instead of Azure portal?
You can install your cookbook and recipe wherever you want to.
Okay.
Here I'm simply downloading that recipe from, I gave a URL.
Right, so, but where is the dashboard where I can control these cookbooks?
So you need to create a chef server and register your recipes. So you take a VM or take something, install your chef server there, create your recipes and cookbooks, host them, and then you make them available for download.
So is there any dashboard on Azure portal for that?
It's very chef-specific thing. So Azure allows you to do it, but it's a very chef-specific thing to do.
So you're looking for a chef repository on Azure?
Right.
We don't have it.
Okay.
Yeah. So you had a question. Sorry, he was there.
Hello.
So can we have a mic here? There's a question here.
So what about a backup and restore for the shell using? Okay, so if I go and automate, I got the notification from the Azure platform, and so I want to make it the backup shell ready. So I got the notification of an XYZ error or something. I want to automate my backup, which I have taken, and automatically take it through the PowerShell.
Mm-hmm.
So is that available right now?
You have to script it. Have the ability to monitor. You have the ability to.
No, I got the notification alert.
Yeah.
So immediately now I understood that the service is down. So XYZ, error 040 something. So if that error is coming, I want to be restore entire my backup of before a snapshot or something. Is it available right now?
So you're saying connect the notification to a PowerShell script to be executed, exactly. Right? Now, I don't think so. Directly from a notification, you can basically connect a Power script thing. That's not available, but I can schedule something like if a particular action or a particular parameter on the VM, like, for example, CPU is reaching this particular threshold, this activity should happen. That thing is possible, but notification back to the PowerShell script, I don't think so. We have it right now.
How are you getting the notification? Are you talking about the portal notification? Or
yeah, Azure notification. So, okay, this server is not available or something. So
at this point in time, the notification alert is not like a REST API or a thing that you can call or you get a push. But you can write a schedule that's monitoring it.
Hi. You have told us about the automation center.
Yeah.
So, but you told that we can only use PowerShell scripts there. And then you told us about the Azure scheduler, where we can use other scripting languages as well. So what is the main difference? I mean, how is it more efficient to use the Automation Center and not scheduler, where we have more flexibility with the languages?
The scheduler is basically just a simple service that allows you to run X jobs, whatever jobs you want to run it. Right? We're not basically talking about how you're writing the jobs. It's only talking about how you're running the jobs. So scheduler is only meant for running the jobs. It's not basically talking about writing the jobs. Whereas automation that I was basically demonstrating to you was showing how do you create the workflows, right? And then basically do that. After you create the workflow, you have an option of starting it. You saw me click on the start button to run that, right? Now, if I had to schedule it, saying I want to do it every 24 hours, I'll go back to the scheduler and say, run this 24 hours.
So the Automation Center is more like SDK where we can write the scripts and that will be helpful.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So this is the development environment, that's the execution environment.
Okay, that makes it clear. Thanks.
So does this automated deployment also support installation of applications like Microsoft Exchange, SQL, or SharePoint?
Can you repeat the question?
So basically, you're using workflow to deploy the machines, right? You deployed three machines having, Microsoft cluster on it. So does it also support deployment of, applications like Microsoft Exchange, SQL on top of those VMs or SharePoint?
Yes, we do. We do have the option of basically creating a SharePoint form or a SQL Server always on kind of a cluster. Yes, you can do that through the automation as well as you can also do that simply by clicking on the portal where we have ready-made templates for that. Okay. Right, so you don't even need to go and automate it because we've already done that. So you just have to click that and you'll basically see that the cluster for SharePoint or the cluster for SQL Server always on can be created.
So do you mean that we should create template beforehand and later on just matter of deploying those templates? So the way I was asking is, runtime deploy the OS, so maybe you can deploy OS from template, Windows 2012, and on top of that install, say, SQL or, say, Exchange.
Yes, you can do that. You can do that with automation scripts, yes.
Thank you.
He has his last. You remember your last question? The gentleman,
I think we're...
Will the provisioning from DSC or PowerShell is the same for Azure Pack as well? The same set of features?
Yes. Whatever we are doing it right now on the portal, would that work on the Azure Pack as well?
Yes
that would basically be more or less yes. I would not say 100%. We may have some gaps because we're just catching up with Azure Pack. We may have some gaps, but yes, most of that things will work as it is with that.
Okay. And one more question is, there are a set of templates for automating scripts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Say you can either select from gallery or create your own script. So is there any way that the community can publish to that templates?
Not at this point of time. We may open it up just like we did it for VMs, right? Initially, only we were able to create the VM images or the OS images, and then we basically extended that to the community, right? So we would basically be doing that in future for this as well. But right now, it's only Microsoft who is able to do that.
Okay. And one last question is, the PowerShell scripts, the runbooks that we create, is there any cost involved in just creating the scripts or?
No. You say the cost, right?
Yeah.
There's no cost involved in basically creating the scripts. It's just that they're executing it, right, when you're basically executing it and the resources that you're creating it because of that, you will have costs for that, right? And whether Azure Automation Service itself will be charged, I'm not sure of that right now. So we may plan to charge it in the later point of time.
Okay, thank you guys.
Hello, yeah, just one more question.
We should take it off.
I can't.
Are we good? We can still go on with the questions we need to close it?
We'll just take the last question.
Just last question. I'm not sure, maybe you might have answered it in the last thing. So my question was, we already have a subscription for Office 365, so we have a Windows Azure account. So in that case, do we need to subscribe again for the Automation Center, or does it come as a bundled?
No, it's you don't have to subscribe specifically for Azure Automation, right? It's just that... when the services are in preview, you may not get that by default in your portal. You'll have to apply them, okay. Right? But you don't have to create a new subscription for that. It will be available in the same subscription fee.
Okay, coming on to the the Azure automation, is it only limited to deployment, or can we go ahead and do additional tasks? For an instance, the other guy asked deployment of applications like Exchange. How about the next step of handling or the ongoing task, maybe creating accounts or doing other stuffs?
Yes. Most of the things that you can basically do it with interactive PowerShell, right? You already have PowerShell commandlets for that. We can use that in Azure Automation as well. Okay. So it's not limited only to provisioning.
Okay, thank you.
Right, I think we should basically stop. I mean, the next set of speakers should be waiting for the session there. All right, so we'll stop here. Thanks for the time with us. So see you guys.